Rabbi say, I consider this particular Shia to be a crucial Yisoid and Hashkofa, and it is an extension and a continuation of the Maharal. The Maharal was interested in the beginning of the discussion of mitzvahs in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Hay. The Maharal was interested in interpreting Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael L'Fikach Hirbo Lahem Torah Mitzvahs, correct? So the question is, Ribui Torah Mitzvahs, how is that L'Zakos Es Yisrael? And you can ask this question many ways, but the simplest way to ask the question is, there's more of a likelihood to fail. There's so much to do. There's so much there. And the mitzvahs are so demanding. Yesterday I gave a shiur in the morning here on Kibbud Av HaEim. And I was thinking to myself, and I told over the story, parents are nervous that the child does not come home on time. The child leaves and he makes his parent nervous if he's not home 15 minutes after 10 o'clock. He said, you're coming home at 10. What if the child comes back after midnight? He knows where he is. He knows where he is, and he knows that he's fine, and he knows there's no problem. And it's kind of feel as I know sits in Beis Medrash. I had here a bach in the Beis Medrash every night. He stays till 12:30. The mam is Navez. He lives six blocks away. He doesn't live in Timbuktu. About Elton Zayn and Navez. That's it. That's the way we are. It's a chelik of our nature. It's an essential part of our concern for our children. Imagine a parent is sitting there nervous. For every minute that they're looking at the clock and the child is not home yet, and you start to bite your fingernails and pace up and down in the living room, is a kefelach. It's a fire. So where's the lezakos es Yisrael? Would be better. There shouldn't be a mitzvah of Kibbud Av. And in fact, in the Gemara Kedushin, in the sugya of Kibbud Av, gets up Amanda Omar and he says, I'm lucky that I'm a Yosem. My father's Ozan Gesund und Stark. He lost his mother in Kimpit when she gave birth to him. He never knew his mother. And he lost his father when he was 9 years old. And he tells me the same thing all the time. He always quotes that Gemara. That all the things he says, Alevaya Funz Gesak, all his Averis, but one Aveira he doesn't have. He was never over uncovered in Myra. Is Ratzakos Rochel Zakos Yisrael Fikach Hirbo Lahem? I could go on and on and on and on. We're mechuyev to daven. So fearful tefillahs are an onkavana. I'm mechuyev to bench. How many times have we forgot to bench altogether? Maybe. And if we bench, and as a vital, and as a vital, and as a vital. You see, a meiri dikazach lechatchila, the mitzvah tefillin was supposed to be a whole day. What happened to the mitzvah tefillin the whole day? What happened to it? Mechanished. So what's the kodesh baruch hu l'zakos es Yisrael? It's a tremendous question. So the Maharal comes up with a yesod, and I want to amplify and embellish this yesod, particularly with the Chafetz Chaim in the name of the Gra. I've mentioned this Chafetz Chaim a number of times in the past. I say it so often that I don't remember in which group of shiurim I mentioned it, but I believe that even in these shiurim I mentioned it already. But it's kedai tzen in edenik, because whenever I mention it, I always mentioned it baal peh. But not yet. Before we begin, I want to chazer over the yesod of the Maharal. The Maharal is going to make this point quite a number of times in one way or another in the next few prakim. But the Maharal's idea of lezakos es Yisrael, basically, if you want to reduce it to one sentence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a treasure which defines our particular capacity, our particular nature as Am Yisrael in connection to Hashem in a very profound and complex way, which proves Hashem's greatness, our greatness, and the greatness of our connection to Him. In other words, Lezakos Es Yisrael, you don't ask how well did I perform a particular mitzvah. And you don't ask how many mitzvahs are there, really. What you see is that there's a network of mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has surrounded us with them in order to give us a different lease on life, a different worldview, a different sense of what matters, and a different complexity to our organism. You know, we have higher forms. In biology, what defines a higher form? What defines a higher form? More complicated. What defines a better thinking capacity? More neurons. And more neurons could be more problems. Could be more headaches. I think that if you don't have a brain, you don't have a headache. And if a person doesn't have a mishpacha, he doesn't have tzar gidl banim. Anochen azvein, a person doesn't have a mishpacha. You don't have a mishpacha, you don't have tzar gidl banim. Everything that's complicated, and everything that evolves, and everything that develops to become more and more complex, it's very often the very complexity of it is proof positive. And that's what the Maharal is saying, that there's something very special going on. And that the limitation and the simplicity isn't necessarily because it looks elegant on the surface and it looks easy to do. Doesn't mean anything. You know, there's an interesting analogy. Kolev and Yoshua come back from the Meraglim and they say, Toiva Aretz, no? Ma'oid, ma'oid. Prekt the Netziv in his Pirush in Chumash, the Hamik Dova. So he asked the question, wait a minute, that was not subject to contention. There was no reason to mention Toiva Ha'aretz. Everyone was maskim the Aretz was Toiva. The Meraglim started out that way, because you start out with the truth, and then you listen to the Sheker. So the Meraglim deliberately presented it in such a way. Not only that, they presented the truth in such a way that it scared them. Here's this big Eshkol, imagine what's going on over there. It's an Eretz Eichelos Yoshvea, the Zepiria. But the fact is that Toiva Aretz Moid was not the issue. The issue is Ach BaHashem Al Timroidu. Sartzila Me'aleihem. We did nothing. We'll finish them off. Don't be afraid, and certainly do not rebel against Hashem. So why do they start with Toiva Aretz Moid? That's his kasha. So he says it's the Ma'id Ma'id that he's telling you. And you know what ma'id ma'id means? That it's not easy come, easy go. Eretz Yisrael is always a land that is going to be under question. It's going to be under a question mark. Are you behaving or are you not behaving? Or do you deserve it or do you not deserve it? There's no other land in the world like that. The Ramban says it over and over again. Every other land belongs to whoever it is in Gandikt. Good, bad, indifferent. Klal Yisrael has to behave. Klal Yisrael also has to worry about Hashemiras HaMitzvahs. And it's a makoy miyuchod umesugol for Avodas Hashem. The Ramban says it over and over. To such an extent that anywhere else it's just signposts. Hatzivi loch tziyunim. Ki yadua. But the Maharal is basically saying something may ain't this, not about Eretz Yisrael, that it's so complicated and so difficult and so demanding, it proves its greatness. In fact, the Netziv, just to get back to the Netziv for a second, he says, what is the analogy to that? Vayar Hashem, kol she'asa v'inei toiv me'oid zu ha'moves. Without moves, you don't understand the complexity and the depth and the meaning and the beauty and the value of life. So zu ha'moves, it's not poshut, it doesn't last forever. It's not easy. So when things are not easy, you don't get scared. You realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu has here a binyan that is something far beyond our capacity to complete? Yes. Far beyond our capacity to encompass? Yes. But does that make it worse? No, it makes it actually infinitely better. We will be called to task, so be it. But rather, what's the expression? Mutayv shetiyya zonav la'arayis va'alti arayish l'shu'olim. There's a lot of goyim out there, and they have a lot of limitations. Precisely because lo yirat zakodesh brochel zakos aysam v'lo yir b'lehem toyru mitzvahs. Now I want to take a look in the lashon of the Maharal himself. So the Maharal says,
"The ma'id
ma'id means that they should understand that you're looking at Eretz Yisrael." He tells the Meraglim and everybody that wants to listen to the Meraglim, like it's just another country, and if it's just another country, then it may not be worth it. It's very hard to conquer. He says that precisely its difficulty, precisely what it demands of us, precisely what it requires of our Avodas Hashem. Look at what a soldier has to be in Klal Yisrael. What did he do wrong? What was his terrible avla? The smallest infraction. He was soft between doesn't mean between Shacharis and Mincha, between Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. So this is a horrible Aveira. That's the pshat of Ma'od Ma'od. Ma'od Ma'od means that this land is a very demanding piece. But because of that, it rewards you over and over and over again, because you have to be worthy of it. You have to win it. And whatever you gain by dint of your effort constantly is no such thing as Hashem gave it to us, v'gamarnu. It's not, you got it and you forgot about it. You always have to hurry in its gift, in the present that Hashem gave you. And because of that, it's toiva ma'od ma'od. Which explains Ach b'Hashem al timroidu. This is Hashem's land. That's the point. So let me read it to you. Val zeh omar Reb Chananya dvoro. Ki rotza kodesh baruch hu lezakos es Yisrael l'fiko kibbol hem toiru mitzvahs harbe. V'heim muchonim el mitzvahs harbe niyoyt. Klal Yisrael are prepared. Prepared means that Hashem has created an ummah which is ro'oi and mesugol to this ribui ha-mitzvahs. And then he adds, v'zehu zuchus Yisrael kasha yesh lehem mitzvahs harbe b'yoyser ulekach schorom godol b'yoyser v'al yikshalucha soif soif yeh schorom yoytzei behefseidom. Isn't it yotze schorom behefseidom because of all the things I mentioned before? Shem lo yikayim roiv ha-toyro yiyah rosha zeh einoi. The soif soif marviach boza al yedei sheyesh loy hachona el hatorah sheyesh boy mitzvahs harbei. You see clearly what he's driving at. The fact that we have a shaychus to Torah is the greatest gift in the world. The rest is we have to be good. Einu chanami. And if we're not good, the Ribbono Shel Olam might punish us. But it's worth the punishment. Yosef Das, Yosef Machoiv, what did the Kotzke say? Zolas Veiton, aber gib mir das. It's this point. If I belong to this tapestry, that is the best gift I could possibly have gotten. I'm not a nothing, I'm not a nobody. I'm a person that the Ribbono Shel Olam reckons with me, that he gave me this incredible Eitzer. And that's what he continues. And in a relentless repetition, over and over again, the Maharal makes this point one way or another. He writes, "Ki hadavar hazeh she'efshar she'yakayim ha-mitzvos o lo yakayim, davar zehu shokul." That's up to him. "Ki ulay yiskev yakayim ha-mitzvos, v'kevan she'hadavar hu shokul, davar zeh machriya mashu muchan al ha-torah shel ribui mitzvos." He says, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would guarantee that you'll fail, then you can have kindness. What good is it that I'm connected to this huge tapestry, but it's a makom muchan leperanius that I'm doomed? He says, you're not doomed. You have bechira. You could be a tzaddik. Doesn't matter, but that shalayechta is worth it. We're talking about a Russia. A Russia, you don't have to be a Russia. Who tells you to be a Russia? So he says, if it's not shokul, and if you're condemned in advance to total failure, then of course you can't say that what I'm being introduced to, person gives you an opportunity to get from one place to another by car, it takes days. By plane, it takes hours. So he gives you a plane, hands you the keys, and says, "Go ahead, pilot the plane." Isaac Mason reads a flea in that plane. So I get in, I pilot the plane, it goes up in the air and it crashes to the ground and he's gone. So that's not a matana. But he says, that's not the way it is. You know how to pilot this plane. The Vilsnisht. So that's a personal cheshbon. But as long as the possibility exists that you could do it right, then the connection to that tapestry, to that oitzar, is a tremendous zuchus. And that he writes, davar zeh machriya mashu muchan, the fact that it's shokul, that there's possibility, is machriya mashu muchan, that he is ready, he's worthy, he's connected to a Torah shel ribui mitzvahs. The davar zeh uzchus gadol miyoyd. The davar zeh yisboyer lekamon. As I told you, he repeats himself a great deal. Ki zeh mizgulas nafshom shel Yisrael shehei muchonim el ha-mitzvahs. There's tchunas, our neshama is predisposed to mitzvahs. They're muchonim. V'im yetzer hara mizgara b'hem. And even though we have a yetzer hara, and maybe kol ha-godol mechavera, we might add, is yitzro godol heimenu, mikom akom yitzad etzem nafsham muchonim el ha-toyra. ולפיכך אמרו כל ישראל יש להם חלק לעולם הבא מפני הכנסם אל התורה. ויוסם מזה אמרו שאפילו קטן שנולד יש לו חלק לעולם הבא. He says, how could it be? He says, because inherently he's a ben olam haba. When he's born, he's a ben olam haba because the chelik that he has in olam haba stems from his prior connectedness to the tapestry of mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and isn't measured necessarily by the etzem shmiras ha-mitzvahs, which at birth he has no shayfas to because he hasn't started yet. The ein zerak mitzat shleimus bria soga atzmai shu muchan al ha-toyra. The only when he uses the word rak, he means it can only be because of his shleimus, because he is created muchan el ha-toyra. Ulekach zoicha l'chayu olam haba. Ulefikach omar, rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu zakos, shebameh sheyesh lan ribui mitzvahs hu zuchutz lahem bevadai. So I wanted to explain this to you a little bit better in the context of this Chafetz Chaim in the sheet that I gave you today. The Chafetz Chaim quotes the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon wants to know, remember the Gemara in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara in Maseches Menachos says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds a person with mitzvahs. As the Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillin, these are the malachim, in Hilchos Mezuzah, these are the malachim that surround you. Chayna Hashem, Saviv Lireya Vayachal Etzeim, these are the malachim, are the mitzvahs that you have constantly surrounding you. Mishi Yeshloi, Tefillin Bereishai, Etzitzit Ubezroyai, Vetzitzit Bevigdai, Umezuzah Bepischai, Muchzaku Shalai Yechta. So the Chazal in Maseches Menachos continues that there was once an episode with David HaMelech when he felt himself completely bereft of mitzvahs entirely because he wasn't surrounded with anything. He was in the merchatz until he reminded himself that he has the bris milah. Correct? So the pasuk that is quoted of the joy that David HaMelech felt, sas anoichi alim rasecha kemaitse shalom rav. So the Vilna Gaon is concerned about particular use of the word sas, not sameach or other words of simcha, but more important, what does it mean kemotzei sholol rav, like you discovered a booty, bounty of war, spoils of war, is sholol. So what is the analogy here to finding spoils of war? So look at what he says. B'shamati b'shem agrozal pirush amashom David HaMelech olav hasholim sasa noichelim rasechil meitzer sholol rav aleph. Mahu loshin sos v'loyom asameach, right? Va'oid mahu shehim shil imre Hashem imrasecha to shalol, to spoils of war. Those are his two questions. Va'omakach, the loshin sosin b'loshin akodesh munach al dover shemigodel hasimcha nolad lo tuga. Now you know very well that simcha generally comes to an end, and the feeling at the end of simcha, like Baboiker B'tzeis Hayayin, is sometimes you have this feeling of emptiness. But that should be only because the simcha to begin with was not of the right kind. But if it's a simcha shel mitzvah or a simchas ha-Torah, you're never left with a bad taste in your mouth. So what does the Vilna Gaon mean that the word sasain is simcha sheyesh achareha tuga? You know what tuga means? Tuga is yogam. What is yogam? How do we translate yogam? Yogam baro, despair, frustration. This is all part and parcel of tuga. So he says that David HaMelech is saying, I rejoice over this, over your words of Torah, like a person who has a kind of simcha that afterwards has a moment of despair. How could it be? You can only have despair if you're a shikr. So you have this artificial excitement, this artificial enthusiasm, and you feel euphoric. But after it dissipates, you crash. But in the Torah, how could you say that? When Simchas Torah is over, we feel a sense of despair? So what are we talking about? So the Vilna Gaon explains. V'amakach v'loshen sasim v'loshen ha-kadosh munach ha-dobah shemigoydol ha-simcha nodol ha-tuga v'derech mashal. Shtei machneis hayu nilchomim echad neged ha-sheni. V'ayinatzei echad ha-mechad mehal nilchomim ez kol ha-machne shekeneged. Mishum shekol ha-el ha-matoro lo-horei shalohem b'matzbi. V'nitna lo-yrushu shiikak ez kol ha-shol la-atzmi kipras. V'ach al eze shoyis ha-chodois nitna lo-yrushus. The way I say it over, this king was in very desperate straits. And he had to take a general out of retirement because he was about to lose the war. And he needed that the general, who was brilliant, should come and save the day, but the general wasn't interested. His matzav was safe one way or the other. He calls him in and he says to him, listen, I know that you're not going to do it unless I raise your eyebrows a little bit. I make you excited about the effort. So I will tell you what I will do for you. You win the battle, and from morning till sundown, I give you and only you permission to go into the field and take any of the spoils of war. The enemy is very rich. They took a lot of booty from all the cities and the towns. They are loaded to the gills. You'll be a billionaire overnight. Well, the taste of that much money got to him, and he joined up with the forces, and he won the battle. And the king kept his word. So now what happens? V'nei ha'ish hazeh ha'yisosim chosek gedoylo miyoyit, shehoyo sholol rab shel kesef hazav, v'omal b'chol koychoy, v'shos ha'chodos elu le'asay fein rab. So imagine this person, he's going into the field of battle, the enemy has been conquered, there's nobody there, and there are tons and tons of gold and silver and rubies and diamonds and all kinds of rings and bracelets and gold cups and it's millions and millions. So what does he do? He takes one satchel, another satchel, one bag, another bag, and on and on. The hours begin to wane. The sun has gone from the east to the west. It's about to set. He looks at what he has. Phenomenal. But then he takes a look at what's left. And he realizes that all he was managing to collect was a tipa min hayam. Nothing compared to what he has to let go of. And Mishi Yesh Leimana writes a Masayim, and he gets all of a sudden a very sick feeling in the pit of his stomach. Oh, if I only had a few more days. Boy, would I then be the wealthiest person in the whole country. Zok the Gra, listen to the Lashon. Where is the despair coming from? Because he suddenly becomes aware, as he was never aware before, what's the nimshalei bazoi? David HaMelech Olav HaSholem Basher Shehu Hisig Yikar HaTorah VeErka, when he discovered what the Torah is. V'omar Hanechmod Mizav UMiPaz Rav Hayasameach Miyoid Aleha Mamish KaAdam HaMoitzi Sholol Rav. If you have to work at a job, who knows how long it's going to take you. But if you can go into a field of battle, and because you won, you take and take and take and take, then there's an unlimited amount that you can get in no time, and you can be wealthy in an instant. You won the lottery. So he says, He says a person looks at the opportunity of Torah and mitzvahs, and even if he doesn't squander a second, I imagine the Goyen was talking about himself. But you want to know something? The Chafetz Chaim is talking to the simplest person as he's talking to the biggest gadol. So Memela, his mashal is tempered by that thought. So he only speaks about the kamus of Torah. He speaks quantitatively. Every teva is a mitzvah. You have so many mitzvahs, and mitzvahs is schar, unbelievable schar. Imagine how much a person can accomplish. And yet, he says to himself, Oy halavai, I lived another 100 years, another 1,000 years. Look how much I could still do. But you have to understand that the Torah isn't merely quantitative. What about the depth of the Torah? A person learns a sugya, then he learns it again. You know what I always say? That the siyum has two sources, to make it very brief. One of them is a Gemara and one of them is a Medrash. And the Medrash learns from Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech got his Chochmah, he made a big simcha for Klal Yisrael and invited everyone to the party, to the celebration. They ask a question. In the Gemara it says, Abaye, who was the Rosh Hashiva, says Rashi, Gemara Masecha Shabbos, when I saw Tzubim Rabbanon, finish a Masechta, I would make a Yom HaTov Rabbanon. It says the Beferish when he finished the Masechta. But how can you derive a Siyum from Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech got Chochmah, he started to learn. Just forgetting Chochmah in his head, he made a Simcha. So what does that have to do with the Siyum? Why is that serving as a Makar for Siyum? So the Mefarshim and the Sfarim explain that what it proves is, what is the Siyum, if not the opportunity to start again with a new set of eyes? When you learn a Masechta, and then you chazar the Masechta, we think of chazara as a kind of like confirming the past and making sure we don't forget it. That is not true. That is the beginning of the point, but it's not the main point. The reason we have to learn a Masechta over again is because the first time around we didn't know what we were talking about, because we didn't encompass the whole of it. When you encompass the whole of it and you go back, you have a different set of eyes. You have a different havana, different look on the thing. And then you learn with the koyach that you have, just like Shlomo HaMelech learned with the koyach HaChochmah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. The first time around is the equivalent of the Chochmah that Shlomo got, and now let's see what you can do. And what about the 100th time? So you think that the 100th time is not deeper and deeper and deeper. So let's say somebody Zoicha Ein Adoyim Amisha Shoyna Pirkei Me'a Pa'amim Le'me'a Pa'amim Va'achas, he learns 101 times. And then he says to himself, I learned this 101 times. Is it enough? There's so much more. It's so much deeper. And as I, who learned it 101 times, I first am beginning to understand how much deeper it is. Torah is Nigla, Torah is Nista, Torah is Pirush and Drash and Remez and Sod, and every one of those, Pirush has Drash, Remez and Sod, as we once learned, and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you something. Reb Chaim Volozhiner comes, a very, very established young Talmud Chacham, to the Vilna Gaon for the first time. How old is he? He's still in his teens. And he says, I learned Seder Moyed. How many times? 12 times, whatever. There was a number, a big number. Gan Seder Moyed. You're not talking about, you should forgive the analogy, I don't mean to be negative about it, but you're not talking Daf Yomi style. You're talking Be'il. And he learned it so many times. And he complained bitterly to the Gra, Adayin Eini Yodeya Oisai Al Buryoy. I don't know it as well as I should. I haven't conquered it. The Vilna Gaon started to laugh. And he said, what? In so few times? Vikama? Ubekama? Then how many times? So he quoted a play on words. He quoted a chazal. Kol yomav ba'amod v'hachazer koi. Chazer and chazer and chazer all your life. So what's going to be at the end? And the person zoicha tarichus yomim, he still hasn't encompassed the Torah. You know why? Because the Torah is nitzchias. So somebody would ask a question, what do I need a simcha sheyesh acharei tuga for? I need a simcha that remains a simcha. I need a simcha that fills my heart with joy, and the joy stays there. Why do I need a simcha that is condemning me? Because of the vastness of Torah and the depth of Torah. I know I'll never be able to plumb the steps. So why should I even begin? So you know what the answer is? Because it's better to be a zon of la'arayis than a rosh l'shom. It's better to be connected to nitzchias than be connected to olam hazeh narishkeit. And everything that kol chafetzel or yishvu ba doesn't just mean that it's not as great and as valuable as the Torah. There's nothing worth pursuing compared to the Torah. Im tevakshena kakesef chatmanu kase oz tovin. But it's not worth pursuing kesef, because that's not going to lead to oz tovin yiras Hashem. And it doesn't connect you to nitzchias. And the connection to nitzchias has a reward that is impossible to describe, because it doesn't have a tangible aspect to it. And it's why the Maharal keeps chazering over and over, because he himself is having trouble. By him, the words are also failing him. The master of words, but it was failing him. He's trying to explain Ribui Mitzvahs is a tapestry that defines a unique relationship with Hashem. What could be more than a human being connected to Hashem? Now, there's one more thing that I wanted to mention. And I think it's very appropriate. By a bris milah, what is the word of choice? Lihudim haisa, no? Ira is? Ira zu taira. Ira v'simcha. What simcha? Yom tov. V'sasain zu milah. Isn't it interesting that dafka the word that the Vilna Gaon describes, that sasam is a simcha, sheyesh acharel b'soif fatuga, should be the word of choice by bris milah? And believe me, it's not because of Tzara the Yanuka, because that's not a simcha for him at all. The simcha is our understanding when we are adults. So where is the tuga? Are we not permanently and forever delighted in bris milah? We have regrets? We don't have regrets. So what's the pshat? You know what the answer is? Bris milah, in its fundamental definition, is to take a human being with taiva, whose physical desire is part of his biological nature, and he is asked by the Hasaras Ha'orla to transcend that nature permanently and to become an elevated person and a person who has total control over his typhus. Does anyone have total control over his typhus? So the everyone has failed that original dream to some extent. Present company excluded. And therefore, it has to be Yeshach Ra'atuga. Because what's expected of this child is almost impossible to achieve. Wette mir doch fragen again, if so, why do we get involved altogether? Imagine somebody with an Arla for the rest of his life. So that if you understand that, you understand what it means. It has to have Achara Tuga for it to be worthwhile. Because the reach has to be beyond us a little bit. We have to constantly strive because we are anchored in our Gashmias. And what we are looking at is a Ruchnias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as an unbelievable gift. And of course, the alternative is easier. Of course, the alternative is more natural. But the alternative is worthless. That's the joke. It's worthless. It's less than worthless. And that's why there's this constant striving for more and more and more and more. And so it's a Gonish Telfin. Because it cannot fill a person. It can't fill a person because it's empty to begin with. There's nothing there. So we should be despairing that there is a measure of despair after the simcha because we can't live up to the dream, live up to the vision. Of course we can't live up to the vision completely. And I'll tell you where else the Lashon of Sasan is being used. Koel, Sasan v'kol simcha, Koel, Chasam v'kol kala. Yosis alayich elokayich kimisals chasam al kala. You know why? That's also simcha sheish acharatuga. You get a chasam kala together, a man and a woman, two human beings with frailties and weaknesses and all kinds of ideas, and you tell them, listen, you're going to form a perfect union. You're going to form a lahayu labasa echad. You're going to be the creation that Hashem intended. All those brachas by the Sheva brachas. Sameach tesamach reyim ahuvim kesameichacha yitzircha began eden mikedem. We want that kind of simcha. You think that kind of simcha is not going to have achara tuga? You think that the dreams and the visions that everybody projects, all those brachas and all those tefillas and the Sheva brachas, Ayla Yafa, you know what the Satmar Rav used to say. Ayla is a Lashon of Gematria. Ayla, how much is it Ayla? What is his minion? So what is the Gematria of Yafa? 95. So he says, well, what's 95? If you open up the Chinuch, and you go to mitzvah number 95, V'asali mikdash v'shachanti v'saycha. It's beautiful. So go tell Chasan Kala, we expect of you to make a mikdash in your home. We want you to be Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and his Rebbetzin. That you'll fix yourself before you walk in, because that's where the Shechina is. Because Ish v'Ishto Yisholim Shruya B'neihem. Or, like Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told one of the Chassanim, who repeated it to me, he says, I'm going to tell you something that I told my Rebbetzin by the Yichud Room. He says, that's what I heard. I wasn't there. But I heard that he repeated this to somebody, and that person said that that's what he told him. He says, to his kala, to his newfound wife, he says, inevitably they're going to be sichsuchim of some sort or other. You'll have one point of view, I'll have another point of view. So I want you to know from now on, I want to tell you in advance, you're right. So that is the exact lashon, say it happened or not is irrelevant. But if you have that kind of a vision, you think it's not going to be Yeshach HaReh Tuga. I mean, who are we trying to kid, Rabbi Yisai? No dream, if it's worth anything, will ever be equal to the reality that attempts to achieve the dream. It's impossible. But if you don't have that dream, what are you? What are you worth? And that is exactly the nekuda of Sosain. Sosain says, if we don't reach out for a Torah that's nitzchius, well, you're surely going to crash eventually. Because it's impossible to encompass it. Not the quantity, not the quality. And then what are you going to say? That it's not for you? That you don't have a chelik in it? So what would you rather? That it should not be part of your life? Or that you shouldn't belong to a people for whom this is so essential? Then what you're saying in effect is, I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I don't want to be real. I don't want to be profound. I don't want to be great. I don't want to be connected. And connected to what? To the Eibishter Olam. Imagine a person has such a vision, and imagine a person without such a vision. So you are despairing because you can't finish. But of course you can't finish, because it's nitzchius and you're finite. The same thing with all of these dreams. We are biological, and we do have our limitations, and we do have our needs, and we do have our craving. A person's supposed to go on a diet. The doctor tells him, this isn't something that he read in a magazine, or the doctor tells him, Yankel, you have a very high blood pressure. You cannot eat salt. And Yankel has a nisayon. He can't help himself. So what do we do with Yankel? There's nothing you can do with Yankel. He's such a nice person. He's a good person. So Yankel, why don't you listen to the doctor? Because we have typhus. Typhus doesn't have to be something horrible. A little bit of salts and pfeffer and leaven. And then Yankel says, it's not kedai to live if I don't have some salt in my food. Of course, that's totally absurd. There are a lot more profound reasons to live than to have salt in your food. Because food itself is not a reason to live. But lemaisa, we are what we are. And it's okay. It really is. We constantly strive to be more, but we are what we are. And we are always anchored. And that's why the Gemara keeps saying that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us siyata d'shmaya, we would never overcome the Yetzirah. Because the Yetzirah is who we are. And that's the koyach ha-tavani versus the koyach ha-ka-asani that the Vilna Gaon hammers away at over and over in Mishlei. So you mean to tell me that if that's the case, let's throw in the towel and say yichtafes nishtabim ma'aliyu letzara hazayis? Punk fakat! You want to remain a behema? Or you want to elevate and transcend your bahamias? No, I want to transcend my bahamias. Oh, if you want to transcend your bahamias, there's a big oitzer of Torah out there. And, you know, it's a challenge. So be it. And the analogy is perfect. Enoch Hanami, he might despair that he doesn't have the rest of the field. But he's loaded. He comes off of the field of battle a rich man. Not as rich as he imagined. Not as rich as he dreamed. Not as rich as he might have been. And maybe he regrets that he didn't take bigger satchels and larger suitcases, okay? But the bottom line is that he's loaded. He's a very wealthy man. And that's the nekuda. And the same thing with bris milah. The old person is going to have his nisyonis, but if he's constantly challenging those nisyonis, and constantly regretting his failures, and constantly striving to live up to that moment, then in the end, when the picture is measured, he is a gehoy ben emesh. He's a man of ruach. He's a man of vision. He's a man who wants to transcend himself. And marriage? You don't need marriage counselors. You just have to remember that you stood under the chuppah together.
and all those brachas and all those tefillos and all the vision and chalomos and sheifos, where did they go? The answer is, it's hard. It's life. Okay. So you slip a little bit and you raise yourself. But you always raise yourself towards that bar. That's the point. And it's exactly what the Maharal is trying to say. Is exactly what the Maharal is trying to say.
We are mukhanim with that. We are mukhanim.
Mukhanim. Exactly. The Lashon mukhanim is such a perfect word now that we've been masbirit. Mukhanim doesn't mean that you've done it. Mukhanim doesn't even mean that you're doing it. Mukhanim means you're misugal for it. You are prepared, you are ready, but even more, you are the people that I have chosen more than any other people on earth to take the chance, to run the course. You're the only pilot I let into the plane. Alright, you gotta be careful. You gotta watch out for those winds. You have to watch out for those pockets of air resistance. And you may not reach the destination eventually that you had a mind to reach. So you'll come upon another port, a little bit shorter trip, a little bit less exciting, a little bit less accomplished. But you're the only pilot that can come into this plane. That's mukhanim. Says the Maharal, that if we are mukhanim, how much zuchus is there in that being mukhanim? Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu l'zakus, says Yisrael. He gives Yisrael nitzchius and he says, connect to it and let's see what happens. So failure or not, if it would be impossible to succeed, then we are condemned. But he says, no, there's shikul. You have a chance, you have bechira, but you have an iron will to do good too. You have the capacity. Ah, you fail, and there's schar, and there's einish for reward and punishment for success and failure. That's not the point, says the Maharal, at all, in the expression of Reb Chananya ben Akasha. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakas doesn't matter on how well you do the job, as long as you could do it well. It matters that you were given this task. But Zakai says, Yisrael, Hirbo Lehem Torah Mitzvahs, I choose you to be the only ones to enter into that agenda called Nitzchius. That's how I understand the Maharal, and as we continue, we will discover the Maharal more and more.
What does the position mean?
You have to understand something. I try to learn Torah. I'm just, the Rav Soloveitchik used to say, why do I keep bringing analogies from myself? Because it's the only person that I know. Mipsari Echazet. I try to learn Torah. Sometimes there are mafriyim, sometimes I'm more zoicha. You think that I don't know every time I open up a Gemara that I'm not going to understand something and it's going to drive me crazy? You think every time I open up a Rebbe Kiva Eger in the sugya that we are learning in the yeshiva, there's a very big Rebbe Kiva Eger right at the beginning of that sugya, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis Himsochim. And it's astonishing in its profundity, in its scope, and it's a very hard Rebbe Kiva Eger. It goes on for several pages, and you know what? Its references from a Talmud of the Rebbe Kiva Eger that is copying over the Shir as Rebbe Kiva Eger is saying the Shir. It's not Rebbe Kiva Eger's own writing, and you see how the Talmud was tofes the Rebbe Kiva Eger's words, and he must have been on a very high madrega himself. And I'm looking at this and I'm struggling with it, and then I have to give this over to Talmidim. I have to chew it up, I have to digest it and give it out in little bits and pieces. You know, mukhan for youngsters. They're not so young anymore. Many of them are married. But the point is that they're young and they're learning. And I say to myself from time to time, what do I have to do with any of this? This is not for me. For me it's good. A little bit of a struggle with Aleph Beis. Abyssal Tehillim. At that moment, there's a little tip in hats. You think for 1 second that I'm not madly in love and besimcha atzuma from learning Torah? So how could it be? The Teretz is because I feel in every moment of my learning this point, that I have been given the privilege to go into the inner sanctum. I don't expect to understand everything and I don't expect to know everything. It's impossible. And if I would, it wouldn't be worth it, most probably. Because if it depends on my puny mind, then what is it? So of course I'm coming into a palace of wonders where everything amazes me. You know, they asked the Oyer Sameach, Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, how do you remember every Tosfos? So you know what the answer is? He learned it. That's how he remembers it. He learned it. That's the first yesod, you know. They asked the question, how do you remember it? But you know what he answered? He said, you ever witness an accident? You know, some surprise, you know, cataclysmic event? He says, yeah. Many, many years ago? He said, yeah. Do you still remember the details? He says, yeah. So that's how I remember Tosfos. When you live something and you breathe it and you love it, you remember it. But you also know that what you know is nothing compared to what this Rosh Yeshiva knows or that Gadol knows. I open up a Dibrei Smosha. Kivega was already a long time ago, Kivayochel. And if Reb Chaim Brisker says that there are two, you can't answer their questions, Reb Chaim Brisker. He says there are two, the Vilna Gaon and Reb Kivega. So what do I want from Reb Kivega? You open up a Dibrei Smosha. The first feeling is of being totally overwhelmed. That such a person, I was with him. I heard his shiurim. I was in his house. You're not talking about somebody from 200 years ago. And the person, you open up a Dibris Moshe, more than Igris Moshe, even more than Igris Moshe, you open up a Dibris Moshe, and every page is so rich, and so expansive, and so complex, and he wraps everything up. You see, he knows the sugya cold, 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 with all of its ramifications, till the halacha lemaisa. Or somebody will ask me a question, and I'll grope for remembering, you know, what the Bir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah says. You ask Reb Moshe the question, Lahavdil Elif Havdolis. You ask Reb Moshe the question, and Reb Moshe throws the whole of Shas at you, and comes to a maskana besides. This is the halacha. And that's it. So, you ask a question, so then where do I come to even open up a Gemara? What's the point? Are you kidding? What's the point? I'm touching Nitzchias. I'm touching the same Torah that Reb Moshe was learning. Could you imagine any greater gift than that, that Hashem allows me in? And that is the unbelievable thing of all mitzvahs. You're going to go look at how a certain tzaddik performed a mitzvah. We can't even imagine the kavanas that go into things. We're not even mechavin these kavanas anymore. It's too complicated. We don't even know what they are. So we're mechavin pirish hamil. But there were people who had kavanas. There are svarim that write, don't you dare tamper with the nusach, because in this nusach there's this gematria and that kavana and this idea, and all of a sudden you're in a different world, you're on another planet. So should I say, what's the point of my davening? It's so worthless, it's so empty, it's so bereft of all of this richness. The fact that I'm entitled, that Avram Avinu says, I daven to Hashem, and David HaMelech says, I daven to Hashem, and Beryl Shmerel says, I daven to Hashem. Could you imagine? What an unbelievable thing, because every tefillah is lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, yishpach sichai. How could it be that a common good for nothing, and not a sar, not a melech, a common good for nothing has the zechus to summon Hashem, Rebbeinu Shlom, I want to talk to you. That is kemaitzei shalal rav. So you ask me a question, How are you not besimcha? I remember once I was coincidentally, I happened to be out of town, and I was davening, and somebody comes over, a total stranger, I never saw him before in my life, and comes over and he says Rabbi Kahn, I was giving a shiur somewhere. So he says, Rabbi Kahn, he says, I was watching you daven, you'll forgive me, I was watching you daven Shmoneh Esrei, I never saw a person smile so much. So he wants to know what there is to smile about. So I said to him, I don't understand. You ever say Moedim Anachnu Loch? He says, I say it all the time. Yeah, he's a good Jew. What are we Moedim for? Chiyasanu, Chiyamtanu. That's already in Moedim Derabbanan. But we talk about Nisechav, B'chol Yoim, U'B'chol Eis, U'B'chol Shah. And I reminded myself, I tell him, that my stomach is working and my heart is working and the blood is pumping through my body. And I started to smile. I have Baruch Hashem, a mishpacha, and I have Baruch Hashem a Torah, and Baruch Hashem I'm giving shiurim. Finished, I'm not only smiling, I'm laughing. Where does all this come to me, Bechlal, Ribbono Shel Olam? Except that you have such unbelievable kindness. So what do you mean? How could you not smile? How could a person not smile? Ever see somebody hand you a check for $1 million? Here, I have a matana for you. You look at the check, $1 million. It has to you have to digest it. And they say, okay, you put it in your pocket. Or do you give a tans? Ah! A million! $1 million. I love you. You're gewaldig. And with a shmeichel, with a brand, with a kazatska. You know the Gemara says that when Rabbi Akiva was in private, he used to begin in one corner and find himself in another corner. Was it Rabbi Akiva? Was it a kangaroo? What do you mean he was in one corner and in another corner? Now the Tarot says, Vikeminishlinger. That's the point. Connection to Nitzchius is an unbelievable simcha. But it is by definition something that has to leave you with a feeling and an understanding. Oy, I wish maybe I was a malach for a couple of days. I wish I was tachas kisei hakavod for a while. I'm not in a rush. Don't. you have that feeling. Oy, I wish I did understand this gemara. And sometimes, to be very frank with you, you hit a wall. You hit a wall of understanding. You just can't penetrate. You can't break through. You hit a wall. But the Vilna Gaon also hit a wall. The Vilna Gaon was wrapped with a towel around his head, as Eidat Zeltman de Maisa, and he revealed to his Talmud, Reb Chaim Valoshin Ereget, he revealed to his Talmud that he has not eaten for 3 days. It's the Chnei Revayim. He is obsessed in a very good way, with a certain kasha that he has on Yerushalmi, and he cannot find an answer. So he says, come, he says, let's learn it together. What can I be moisiv to do? No, let's come. B'tzavsa b'chavrusa. And finally they broke through. And then he went ahead and he had something. So the Vilna Gaon hits a wall also? So okay, that's what it is. That is, as they say in the colloquial, the name of the game. You understand? And that's exactly what the Maharal says. He doesn't use my Mishalim. He doesn't tell the story of the Vilna Gaon. He doesn't talk about marriage. He doesn't talk about Bris Mila, over here at least. But this is his point. Your Muchan to Nitzchius, what greater gift could there be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us transcendent. He's turned Gashmi into Ruchni. So of course Gashmi is going to fail eventually. It's going to hit a wall eventually. It's going to realize that the effort, as great as it is and as successful as it is, always remains incomplete. V'hi sehi lasecha. That's the whole point. That's its greatness.